As you know, we're just going through the first epistle of John in these weeks, and we've come to chapter 2, verse 18, which begins with these words. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. John is talking about the final last phase in God's purposes to redeem the world. This is the last hour, he says, the end of which will be marked by the appearing of Jesus Christ in glory. And so he refers to this in the passage which we read. Verse 28, he says, "And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." And in chapter 3, the second part of verse 2, "We know that when he appears we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Over and over again, Jesus and the apostles taught that we should live our lives as if the time was near. Jesus told the parable of the wise maidens and the foolish maidens. The wise were ready for the coming of the bridegroom, the foolish were not. The master went away on a journey, left his home in the hands of servants. Then the master came back at an hour they were not expecting. And the message of Jesus there from that story is that we should live our lives as if the master was about to return. In one sense, any time between the first coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago and his second coming at the end of the age, any of that time is the last hour. Because it was when Jesus first came that God gave his final and complete revelation of himself to the world. He revealed himself as Father through his Son. The Old Testament had foreshadowed that, but it had been fully revealed when Jesus came. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, says the New Testament. In these last days, we're living in the last days in that sense. God has shown himself clearly that he is Father and Son, bound together in a spiritual self-giving love, which is the Holy Spirit. And God's will is that we too should be adopted into his family as his children. That is, we should share in the sonship of Christ, so that we call his Father our Father. We must never take that for granted. It's so easy for people to say, we're all children of God. It's only this book, the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, that reveal to us that the one who created us and sustains all things is Father, and that we should call him Father. Don't take that for granted. There are many in the world who would deny it. And when those who are children of God are called children of God, it's not just a pleasant way of speaking. It's not just a nice thing to say. It really means something because of the Son of God. Because there really is a Son of God, then we, in him, can be children of God. Adopted into his family, so that he is our brother man and we call his Father our Father. So chapter 3 begins, How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That means that we human beings have an awesome destiny to be sons and daughters of God in union with the one Son of God, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to be a human being, to share in the very nature of God, to experience what he experiences. You know, there's two mistakes we as human beings make about ourselves. Sometimes we make ourselves into our own God, pretending that we are God, so that we can rule ourselves, caring nothing for his authority, worshipping ourselves. And the other mistake is the opposite of that. Excuse me. It's to pretend that we're nothing, that we're just accidents, that just happened. The universe just happened to come into existence in a big bang. Just accidentally, the earth was formed. Just by accident, a simple cell of life was formed. By accident, it changed into a jellyfish. By accident, the jellyfish wanted bones, so it developed some and became a fish. Just by accident, the fish didn't want to live in the water, so it changed its gills to lungs and became a reptile. Just by accident, the reptile wasn't satisfied with being cold-blooded, so it warmed its blood up over a few million years and became a mammal. Just by accident, the mammals weren't satisfied with their small brains, so they decided to develop into human beings. We're all just an accident. At the end of our lives, our molecules that make us all up, the cells of our life, just become nothing and we end up in a grave. We're really nothing at all, just the accident of the universe. That's how we're led in the media to think of ourselves, and that's a cause of all the carelessness about human life in the world today. It's a cause. No. Human beings are made in the image of God to be his children. That's why we were made, to share in his characteristics, so that his love should be our love, his righteousness, our righteousness, his truth, our truth. Not only that, just as God is creator, he has given us a creative instinct so that we should explore nature and unfold its wonders, so that we should make music and art. Not only should we share in the creative joy of God, when God suffers sorrow for the evil in the world, we too share in that as human beings. God rules over all, and he's given us to rule as well. He's given us authority over all the earth. That's what he said. We're not just robots. He's given us freedom to care for the whole earth. He really has given this world to us. Therefore, we really can affect it for good or for evil. He doesn't just interfere with it all the time, because he's given us the authority to care for the earth. It's a wonderful thing to be a human being. But if we break away from the authority of God, then the earth is spoiled as well. Of course, we know that things have gone wrong, and the cross stands there as where God took our sin upon himself. But one day, all things will be restored to their proper place at the appearing of Christ. But you know, it's not going to be a smooth transition from now until the coming kingdom. There is going to be opposition. There are going to be, using the words of John here, antichrists. Or as the Good News Bible says, that Miss Effie Miller read to us, enemies of Christ. As it says here, there's going to be antichrists. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. The last hour is going to be marked by the conflict between good and evil. And the nearer the time comes for Christ to appear, the more intense will the conflict become. That's what John means. Not just sin and evil, but nature itself will suffer. Jesus warns of wars, that's the fault of man, and he also warns of earthquakes and natural disasters, which are also under the authority of man, remember. God gave the world to us. I don't believe it's the will of God that there should be earthquakes and things like that killing people. We may not understand why these things happen, but I can say this, not only on the authority of the Bible, but of very recent advances in understanding what a human being is. We have far, far more impact on the world we live in than we have ever dreamt before. We as human beings affect the world of nature far, far more profoundly than we have ever imagined, for good or for bad. Paul says nature is groaning in pain like childbirth until the children of God are revealed. And so you have this conflict. John says many antichrists are already here. There are many enemies of Christ, but also there'll be one antichrist, the great enemy of Christ. So how are we to know the right way? Verse 20, he says, but you have an anointing, that's the Holy Spirit, from the Holy One, and you know the truth. The anointing is the Holy Spirit of love. That love between the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit should be ours. Love and the truth keep us in the right way. If we put aside our interest in truth, or we put aside our interest in love, we'll go astray. But if we keep our interest in truth and in love, God will be able to keep us in the right way. He reveals, John says, the Father and the Son to us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But how then are we to recognize the Antichrist? Well, John tells us. He says in verse 19, you can tell the Antichrist because he's gone out from amongst us. He was in us, but he's left us and gone out. And then in verse 22 and 23, he tells us something else about the Antichrist. He says the Antichrist denies the Father and the Son. In other words, he denies the very nature of the love of God. And he denies what it is for us to be human beings as children of God. That's the Antichrist. Now down the history of the world, many people have said this is the Antichrist, that is the Antichrist. Some people said it was the Emperor Nero. Some people said it's the Pope. The Westminster Confession says that. This year, the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland dissociated itself from those words, I'm glad to say. Some people said it's Hitler. Some people say it's communism. I wouldn't know myself. But I have a thought, which you mustn't take to heart too much, in case it's wrong. And that is that Daniel the prophet, and Jesus quoted him, Jesus took up Daniel's words, warned of a terrible insult to God being placed in the temple in Jerusalem. The very place of the temple, there will be an insult to God put right there. What is there today there? There is a mosque of Islam. There it's called the Dome on the Rock. There are some words written inside it, in Arabic, which say, there is no Father, and God has no Son, are written inside it. Islam broke away from the Jewish Christian tradition. It wasn't just a new religion which was founded 600 years after Jesus. It broke out of the Christian tradition. It has as its doctrine the doctrine of holy war. That is what its beliefs are. Not just what it's done, that is fundamental to its belief. That is, if you can't convert people, you must kill them. That's jihad, holy war. It makes two exceptions. If it can't kill Jews and Christians, it doesn't kill them. It just enslaves them. That is its official doctrine. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There are many very good Muslims in the world, godly Muslims, in one sense. We shouldn't live on prejudice. We must never hate anybody. All people, Muslims, Hindus, Christians, are equally precious to God. Our attitude must always be of love. But Islam, as a militant political fundamentalist power, is a force of darkness, sorry to say, in the world today. Though many, many individual Muslims are not like that at all. And God can even use what is bad for good. We know that through the cross of Jesus. So I'm not saying that Islam's the Antichrist. I'm just pointing out certain things to you. But what should we do in this world of turmoil? Verse 28, John says, "Now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." Don't give up. There'll be opposition, there'll be antichrists, there'll be lots of forces of evil in the world. Sometimes they'll seem to be near to victory. But don't give up. Continue. Continue to worship the Lord, to know the Father through the Son. When there are encouragements and discouragements, do not give up. It's of fundamental importance to live for the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 3, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." That's what we are. We are called children of God. But what shall we be one day? Well, John says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, but what we will be has not yet been made known. But we do know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him." It doesn't yet appear what we will be after Christ appears, or after death. But this one thing we do know about that: when he appears, we'll be like him. Like him after he rose from the dead. When my body eventually dies and is put in the grave or goes to the crematorium, isn't that the end of me and my body? Isn't that the end of me? Howard Taylor, gone. No. Already, everyone in this church, everyone in the world, is a completely different person in one sense than they were a few years ago. Every cell in your body and my body dies. Dies and then is replaced by another cell. Then that too, after a few years, dies and is replaced by another cell. The stuff that you are made of today is completely different from the stuff that you were made of 7 years ago. Not one cell in your body today was alive 7 years ago. You've been replaced. So you are not this stuff that will die again and be replaced by new life. That's the way we live in life. And even individual cells, The molecules come in and go out. You are not the stuff that you're made of today, because that's different than what you were 7 years ago. The real you and me is the pattern. The pattern. Even your brain cells are changing all the time. Your memory cells. You're a completely different person. But the pattern remains. You're still the real you. The same you as you were when you were born is you today, even though the stuff of your body has changed many times over. And when the time comes when all the cells of our body die, the pattern remains still and goes on beyond death into new life. The body may die, but you continue. When he appears, the pattern will take on a new and wonderful life of the Spirit, and the real you will continue in glory. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful pattern of life which You have made and given for us, that we might be Your children, reflecting Your creative love and righteousness and truth and glory. We pray that each of us may do as the Scripture says, having this hope in our lives, purify ourselves as he is pure, so that at his appearing by his grace and his cross, we may be ready for him. May we live our lives on this earth as his children, serving thee, loving thee, serving and loving one another and all people, because all are equally precious in thy sight. We ask these things for Jesus' sake, our Saviour. Amen.